explored a little bit about an interesting character in the scriptures called Barabbas. And in looking at Barabbas, we looked at two aspects of that individual. Revised Standard Version has the full name of Barabbas, Jesus Barabbas. And we talked about the statement Barabbas meaning son of the Father. So on that fateful day, when Jesus was to be the sacrifice for us, we had two individuals, Jesus Barabbas, Jesus son of the Father, and we have Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, who also is the son of the Father. And we talked about the identity of the real and the fake. Barabbas was the fake. And we tied that to what will happen right through to the end, that we will, at the end, have the real Jesus and we'll have the anti-Christ. And then we also talked about the fact that on the flip side, Barabbas represented us. We were the ones that were doomed to die. We are damned for destruction because of our activities. But here comes the Son of God, and he exchanges places with us. And so he died, but we get to live. But we also talked about the fact that that exchange was an exchange that was made once. Barabbas can choose to live a changed life after that exchange, or he can continue in his old ways. And at that time, if he continues in his old ways, there's no more Jesus to exchange with him. Are you with me so far? You sure? It was a one-time deal. Jesus died for us once and for all. And if we continue with him, we continue to live. But if we continue with our old ways and think we are still saved, that's a totally different story. Barabbas had an exchange once and for all. Now, we don't know. Nobody knows what happened to Barabbas, how he lived his life. However, while tradition does not give us a full story of what may have happened to Barabbas, what we do know is that there have been speculations. One speculation was that he went on and watched Jesus die on the cross. Another speculation is that he went back to his old life and was arrested again and then killed. Those are the only two choices. And those are the two choices that we do have today, that we can receive Jesus Christ, have his blood cleanse us from all sin and from all unrighteousness, past, present, future, if we continue with him, or else we choose to do our own thing and continue in sin without honor and respect for the fact that Jesus paid the price for us to experience change. If we don't continue with him as relating to change, we get to die. We get to lose out. And anybody who tells you otherwise is not telling you the truth. It is not that we don't sin after we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We still blow it. But we get to repent. We get to ask God for forgiveness. We get to, not by the trying of works, but by the identification with the finished work of Christ, recognize that he who came and lived a sinless life is the one who lives in us. And so the word of God says that he that is born of God cannot sin. Cannot sin. Cannot sin means that cannot miss the mark. Hamathia. Cannot miss the mark. What is the mark? The mark is that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins. And he paid it in full. And I draw to him. And I say, God, I don't know how I'm doing this, but I know you paid the full price for it. And I know change is possible. And I know that I can live a new life. So I receive faith to live that life. You're not missing a mark then. You're looking unto the author and the finisher of your faith. But if you assume, well, Jesus paid the price. Now that I've sinned, I guess I sinned. So, sorry, there's a price to be paid. No matter how much you believe that it's okay, it's not okay. Today, we will explore just a little bit about the cross. What happened at the cross? Why is the cross important to us? I made a statement yesterday that may have shocked some people. And the statement was that Barabbas got saved before the cross. That sounded odd. I thought the cross was where, because of the cross, we got saved. Yes, the cross was the physical manifestation of what God had already done. Barabbas switched places with Jesus, not at the cross, but before the cross. And hear what the Lord Jesus Christ will say about that in John 17. In John 17, the Lord is praying and he makes a statement. Now, it's a statement of faith, but it's also a statement of fact. Hear what he says in verse 3 and then verse 4. Actually, let me take it from verse 1. This word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Glorify me so I can glorify you. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. This is what eternal life is, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And watch verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have what? Finished. What was the cross for? The cross was where Jesus took the finished work to. It grabbed everything, All of my sins, all of your sins were bestowed upon him. All of your sickness, my diseases, everything. By faith, he was pulling on every single one of them. And by faith, he saw it all complete. And when he went to the cross, he was making a final statement. It is here. I got it all. Amen? But before he got there, he said, I have finished the work. What did he say? I have finished the work. Did he go to the cross yet? But he said, I finished the work. It's done. It's completed. Everything that happened was a manifestation of what he had already accomplished. That gives me this sense that before God does anything, he finishes. God always finishes everything before you see it. He operates in faith, by faith, through faith, knowing what he wants done, seeing it accomplished, and then he shows you, this is what I did. I did this, see it now. Praise the Lord. Now let's go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further and deeper. What happened at the cross? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26 tells us one of the things that happened at the cross. Hebrews 9, 26. It says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. He suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the what? World. In the end of the world, had he appeared, at the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin, how? By the sacrifice of himself. Where did he do the sacrifice of himself? It was at the cross. So what was the cross then? The cross was the demarcation point where God said, the world ended. Everything here, from here on, is a new world for anyone who comes and dies with me here. You start afresh in a new world. This is the old world. Are you with me? Okay. So the cross ended the world. Now, the world, when it ended, looked like it was still the same, but a new world started. A new era started. A new story started. Because the Word of God would tell us, Paul would tell us, I am crucified with Christ. You and I, Paul, who was not there, he said, I was crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, it is Christ that lives where? In me. Not with me, but in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. So, what happened at the cross? Faith was released into my life and into your life. What kind of faith? The faith that causes me to live a justified life. The just live by how? By faith. I am justified. Now, what does justified mean? It means, firstly, that I stand before God just as if I have never sinned. Just as if I've never sinned. But justified means also that, you know, in the old days we used to have typewriters, and you justify your lines. You heard that statement before? The lines are justified. You go 10 letters in or 12, whichever way, and you justify, and every time you press return, it goes to the justified line. Praise the Lord. That's the just live by faith. And what does that mean? It means that God puts his own boundaries so that when you are, as you are living your life in God, when you are about to step out of line, there's a checker. The checker is there that says, ah, no, don't go there. And the justifying line may be different for you and maybe different for me. Now, let me explain what I just said. If you're going to be a doctor, you get a particular kind of training. You take particular kinds of subjects. If you're going to be a journalist, you take different sets of subjects. If you're going to be a dentist, you take particular subjects and you specialize on certain things. So also it is that as a believer, God has particular things that he has ordained for you to operate by. Now, if I call to be a particular kind of believer with a particular portfolio, as I'm working with God, there might be things that may be okay for somebody else to do, because it's not a sin issue. But for me, that is not part of my discipline. That is not part of what God wants me to do. So he justifies me so that I now operate in faith and by faith to do that thing that God has called me to do. My lines don't go this way, they are this way. I had to learn that lesson because I found out that because of what God has called me to do, that I did not get away with certain things. Other people got away with it, but I did not get away with it because the justifying line said, you don't go there. Are you with me so far? Justification is very practical. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's a very practical thing that puts certain limitations to you to discipline you so that you can live the kind of life God wants you to live to the fullness. Live a fulfilled life. Amen? My spiritual father once told me something that I've not shared publicly until now. He said to me, to fulfill the calling and the purpose of God for your life, you have to understand that you are going to be alone. I said, yeah. You are not going to be able to fulfill your call or purpose or destiny trying to be like everybody else. You're going to be alone. That's justification. That is, if you want to be who God wants you to be, you cannot be pleasing everybody and be there with everybody and try to be everything to everybody. You got to know where you are. The calling of an evangelist is not the same as the calling of a pastor or a prophet. There are certain things a pastor may allow you, baby, it's okay, but evangelist will not care. And definitely a prophet will hammer you over the head with it. I don't like that minister. No, he's doing his thing. And if he ceases to fulfill that mandate, and the prophet is trying to be a pastor, he's in trouble. You fulfill your particular mandate so that God can glorify his name in you and through you. So not every minister is going to, pat you in the right place that you think. Are we together so far? Okay, you say, what does that have to do with the cross? I'm talking about justification so you understand. Now let's go a little bit further. The world ended. Now what happened? From that point on, we're going to talk about resurrection tomorrow. From that point on, you stepped into a different kingdom. It's no longer the kingdom of this world. You are now in a different kingdom, and it is from that kingdom that you are born again. That's why you are not of this world. Praise the Lord. Let's go a little bit further. What happened at the cross? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Talking about the cross. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Ordinances are decrees, laws, whatever, anything that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What did he do? He nailed it to his cross. What did he nail to his cross? That which was contrary to you, contrary to us. Now, let me ask you this. Is sickness and disease contrary to you? Is poverty contrary to you? Shame and fear. Anything that is contrary to you, anything that stands in your way, God said, I took it out of what? The way. I took it out of the way, and I did what with it? Nailed it to the cross. Nailing it. Verse 14 again. Look at it. Nailing it to his cross. Nailing it to his what? Cross. Wait a minute. It did not say, and they nailed it to his cross. Is that what it said? Nobody crucified Jesus but himself, what he allowed. And when it says nailing it to his cross, it is like this. Men are going to nail, put the nails in there. But before they did that, I had already nailed it. He took it, because nobody can nail anything to the cross except him who can see it. Are you somebody listening? The Romans didn't nail my sin to the cross. Jesus did that. And why did he do that? To let us know, listen, every issue, I'm letting you know now, it is here. It is here. I put it all here. It's all here. It's all here. And guess what I'm going to do? When they put me, all of your issues are going to be behind me. Hallelujah. So look at me and not see your sin. Look at me and not see your sickness. Look at me, because I already nailed it. Before they put me on the cross, I already nailed it. And so when they nailed me on the cross, top of it. Hallelujah. Jesus saying, I'm on top of your problem. Glory be to God. I am on top of it. Do you receive that? That's what's happening at the cross. Everything that is contrary to you, he took on. Huh? Yeah. Sickness. As he was on that cross, the blood that was shed from his back, from the stripes that he bore, were on that issue. And the fact that what you see on his face, when you saw his face, what you were seeing is the one who addressed every other issue that was before you. Look at me. See me? I'm bleeding here for you. I have taken care of it. Look at me. Hear me. It is finished. Hear me. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Every word that came out of his mouth, he wanted you to hear. Every problem that you face, he wants you to know it's behind me. I've taken care of it. I am on top of it. I have addressed it. Your world starts afresh from this point on, because the world of defeat is taken care of here at the cross. At the cross. I am going to go and I'm going to finish another level, because after he dies, he goes to hell, the Bible says. And remember, you died with him. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible says you were buried with him. Yes? Guess what? When he was buried, he went to hell. Guess what happened to you? When you died with him, you also went to hell, so that you don't have to go again. Hallelujah. You went to hell, and when he seized the keys of death and grave, you too, in him, were seizing those keys too. Hallelujah. Because he didn't just do it for you, he did it in you and with you, for you, and by you. So when the devil says Jesus cannot pay the price for them, you can say, in him, I paid the price of punishment that I was due, because I died in him. I paid the price in him. I was punished in him. What do you have to say? Go to hell? I went to hell already. Hallelujah. So the Lord took you with him, so that you can experience the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the sitting down at the right hand of the Father. And guess what the Bible says? We are seated in what? In Christ Jesus, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness. Everything Jesus did, you were doing with him, in him. He was doing it all for you and giving you credit, even though you didn't deserve the credit. That's what grace is all about. Let me explain it this way to you. You have a vehicle, a nice brand new Mercedes-Benz. It has 10 clicks on the odometer, but you want to take it to Montreal. I don't know how far Montreal is from here, but let's assume it's about 2,000 or 3,000 miles or kilometers. I don't know what it is, but let's just give it a figure. So somebody can Google it for me and tell me exactly what it is, because you can find anything on Google nowadays. So from Winnipeg to Montreal, how many kilometers is that? Somebody quick. Well, let's say it's 3,000 or whatever the amount is. If you took that vehicle, put it on a flatbed, and drove that flatbed all the way from Winnipeg to Montreal, how many kilometers would be on the odometer? 10. Yes? The same. Yes? Because you started with 10, now you've driven 2,000 or 3,000 kilometers, and you still have 10. But you covered all the distance. So what is that? That's what grace is. God living his life through you without you paying the price, the wear and tear of driving through all that process. Somebody else is carrying you all the way through. But you still get the credit because you are in Montreal, not in Winnipeg. Hello? It doesn't matter whether it was 10 kilometers on the odometer in Winnipeg. You still have covered the thousands of kilometers and you have the credit of being in a new place without the price, without the cost, the wear and tear. That's what the cross was accomplishing, shifting you into another sphere. That sphere is called grace. I'm living the life of God, not based on my ability, but based on the ability of the one who is carrying me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are we together yet? He took whatever it is that is contrary to me. Now, what do I do? Anytime I see something that is contrary, I have to say, you have been taken out of the way. You are not part of my life. Poverty, you have been taken out of the way. You are contrary to me, and Jesus took you out of the way, and you've been nailed to his cross. He nailed you to his cross, and I don't see him taking you off of it. I cannot be poor. I cannot live in sickness and in disease. I cannot live in fear and in defeat. It has been nailed by Jesus himself to his cross. Because, you see, yes, man nailed him, but he did the nailing of your issues on his cross. So how did he do it? By faith. By knowing, I have done it. And when did he do it? He started doing it from the foundations of the world. Before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What else happened at that cross? Let's look. This one will surprise you. Colossians 1. Actually, let me go to verse 15 first, and then I'll go to Colossians 1. Verse 15, it says, and having what? Spoiled principalities. You know, when you take a spoil, that means you took whatever that entity or person had. When you go to war and you take a spoil, you take spoils, it means you defeated the enemy and you took his stuff. Yeah? That's taking spoil. And having spoiled, having taken everything the enemy had, stolen everything, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? At the cross. He triumphed over them at the cross. Remember what I said earlier on? He completes everything before he gets started. Well, I thought maybe he triumphed over them in the grave. No. He finishes before he starts. Praise the Lord. What did I say? He finishes before he what? Starts. So at the cross, he was finishing what he was going to do in the grave. He finished it. And so when he went there, he just grabbed the keys. It was already finished. He's already finished it. May God grant us the grace of the finisher. Amen. Hallelujah. That we finish everything and then we show it. It's done. That's why, watch Jesus. You never saw him or heard him praying for the sick. Did you know that? I double, triple, quadruple, millionet. Dare you to find me a place where Jesus is busy praying for the sick. Never. He never prayed for the sick. He just spoke. Why did he speak? He already finished the work. When he was praying at home or in the mountain or in the valley or in the wilderness or wherever it was that he was praying at, talking to the Father, he finished it. And when he saw the person, he said, receive your sight. It was done. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the kind of grace that we need. That's the kind of grace I need to operate in my life. That's the kind of grace you need to operate in your life. That when it is, we finish everything. This service should be finished before I come here to preach. I should have finished everything. So when I come here, I just say what I need to say, but I've really finished it. That's why I will spend some time praying first. I might spend an hour or whatever, you know, praying and talking to God about whatever and removing whatever issues that I'm maybe troubling me and tossing them off and making sure that the spiritual airwaves are clear. So that when I minister, you can hear it, not only for today, but remember it for the rest of your life, because whenever you need that information, it will pop back into your spirit and say, I remember Pastor said this. I remember he said that. I remember this was said, because that has been sown inside your spirit. It went deep. It is settled. Hallelujah. That's why the Word of God tells us that when we believe in God, he establishes us, but it is the prophet who causes you to prosper. Believe his prophets, so you shall what? Prosper. God first establishes, and then he speaks it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now come with me to Colossians chapter 1. Let us see how extensive what Jesus came to do is. Colossians 1, starting from verse 15. Go back to verse 13. Go back to verse 13. It says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us, metamorpho, into the kingdom of his dear son. He delivered us from the power of darkness. So there is a power of darkness, and Jesus came and delivered us from that power and had translated us or shifted us into the kingdom of his dear son. Then it says, in whom, that dear son, in whom we have redemption through his what? Blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption, we redeemed through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus is the image, the manifestation, the representation of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of what? Why that statement? The firstborn of every creature. What is that about? Well, the firstborn belongs to God. So that statement is this statement. It's saying that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, the one that made it possible for every one of us to belong to God. Let's go a little bit deeper. For by him. And the other thing about the firstborn is that the firstborn sanctifies the rest. For by him, that is Jesus, were all things created. By him were all things created. Now, think about that a moment. John 1:1 tells us that God created 1:1, 2:1, 2:1, 3. God created everything that is created by what? The Word. Yeah? Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Yeah? With God. All things were made by him, and without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. Nothing was made outside of the Word. So, who hung on that cross? Jesus Christ. Better yet, the Word of God, the promises of God, hung on that cross as a testament. So when you see Jesus, you should be seeing the Word of God. What does God's Word say about this situation? That's what you and I are supposed to believe. That's what you're supposed to see. Not your problem, because your problem is behind them. His Word. Are you with me? Now take me back to Colossians 1. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. The things that are in heaven were created by him. Nothing that is made was made outside of the Word. Yeah? So, God is telling us nothing, even in heaven, nothing that was created in heaven, not just on earth, not just in the earth, not just let there be light and light, and God said, let the trees and wah, 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 wah. Not just that. Everything in heaven. Are you with me? Do you see the scope of rich of the Lord? He's creating in the earth, he's creating in the heavens. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and what? Invisible. Visible things, that's things that you can see. Invisible things are things that you cannot see. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and what? For him. They were created by him and for him. Created by the Word and for the Word. In other words, everything is supposed to work for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everything's supposed to work for you. Everything's supposed to work for me. What is our problem? Our problem is that we don't believe what God has done for us. We rather connect with our circumstance rather than on what God's Word says. And so we allow our circumstances to terrorize us like Barabbas. We're created by him and for him. Let's go further. Remember verse 16 now. And he is before all things. He is before all things. And by him, all things what? Consist. Huh? Wow, this is getting serious. He is before all things. He is before all things. He's ahead of all things. And by him, all things consist. In other words, you know why all things consist of him? Because everything that was created by what? The Word. And he is the Word. And so it is the Word that produced everything. There is nothing in the planet that doesn't have God in it. Amen. Are you with me? They are not God. but they have God in it. This is why, are you ready for this? This is why people pray to all kinds of creatures and creation, and things happen. Because they are tapping into something, and God says, it is not in that that you need to focus your attention. You need to focus your attention on me. Let me go past that. Another day I'll dwell on that. Actually, let me do this. Go to Hebrews chapter, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word, now faith, is the substance. That word, substance, is the word hypostasis. Now, where is that word also used? It's also used in Hebrews 1. And I'll show you what that word substance is. Verse 3. Actually, let me take it from verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom, though the inheritor of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, Mars, Saturn. He made everything that was made by the Word, Jesus, the Son. Who being, present tense continuous, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. See that word there, person? That's that same word, hypostasis. And that word, person, is in reference to who Jesus is. So faith is the Jesus. Faith is the Word. Are you with me? Faith is the expression of God. Is this getting too heavy? Are we getting too heavy here? Talk to me. Are you okay? Now, what we're talking about here is not head knowledge. We're talking about you and I coming to a place of understanding. And in this place of understanding, apply. So what am I applying? I'm applying the fact that the Word of God is creating everything. Who being, present as God's Word is still creating things. God's Word is still putting things into place. And actually, every time God answers your prayers, and all of this is happening because of what happened at the cross, every time God answers your prayers, let me tell you how he's doing it. He's doing it by putting his word, his prophetic word in your mouth, so that you say what it is that you want, and you'll have what you want. Say. Anytime I have failed in getting results and answers, it has been because I have lost touch with the reality of what the Word of God can accomplish in me and for me and through me. No other reason. So and the reason we miss out on that is because of this. Are you ready for this? Please listen up. This is important. Extremely important. Prayer is not just talking. Prayer is first and foremost about listening to hear what God will say, so that you then say what God said. Did you hear what I said? So do you know what happens we miss out on praying the prayer of faith, the prayer of what? Faith. And faith comes how? By what? Hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So we miss out on praying the prayer of faith, which is based on hearing something and then saying something. I need to hear. But the problem is that we feel pressured. Let me say it again. We feel pressured to say something. Brother, will you please pray for me? Or sister, will you please pray for me? In the name of Jesus. Blah, 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 blah. Well, we've not heard anything yet. We just start praying. Blah, 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 blah. Well, if someone says, will you please pray for me? If you give them the opportunity to say, okay, I will, let me hear what God will say to me so I can say what God said, we might get better results 100% of the time. But the fact is, many times I'm busy just saying something just to please you. I just want to please you. He prayed a very good prayer for me. Praise God. How much of it got answered? When it was not based on the word of God, I tell you what, nothing's going to happen. It's not going to happen. No matter how much I believe it. It is the prayer of faith based on hearing what God said. That's what changes things. That's why every one of us must learn how to hear. Lord, teach me how to hear. Because hearing is connected to the will of God. Hearing is connected to what? The will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be what? Done on the earth as what? It is in heaven. I need to know what's happening in heaven so I can say what's happening in heaven so that what is happening in heaven can come down here. Does that make sense? Are we getting somewhere? That's the connection. That is the connection. And that's where we need to connect ourselves. Go back to Colossians 1. Let's see the extent of what Jesus did, 1:15-16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body. He is the what? The head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from what? The dead. Remember, the firstborn of all creatures. What creatures? Born again. Born again. He is the firstborn of all creatures. Everyone that is born again. Born again from what? From death to life. Amen? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence, the highest position of authority. For it pleased the Father that in him, should all fullness dwell. In him should all fullness dwell. Oh, God help me. What is this all fullness? Let me tell you. Come with me. Stay in verse 19, but come with me to Ephesians 3. What is this fullness? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Come to Ephesians chapter 3. Don't forget that we're in verse 19, but come to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. For this cause, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? By faith, that ye being, present tense continuous, rooted and grounded in what? In love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? Grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of what? Of God. The fullness of what? God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All that God is in me, based on, go to verse 18 again, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Verse 16, that he will grant you according to the riches of the glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now verse 15, watch this. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now let's come back. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. 16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. By his Spirit, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit and life. By his word in the inner man. It's the word of God that strengthens you in your inner man, that causes you not to be afraid, that causes you to stand against the forces of darkness and say, no, that's not my portion. That has been removed out of the way. And it's been nailed to the cross. It is behind my Lord. And all I see is the Lord Jesus Christ who has addressed everything. And he said, it is finished. The last words. It's finished. And into your hands I commit my what? Spirit. I commit my word. The word that says it is finished. Yeah, it is. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to what? Comprehend. Understand with all sense. Let me put it this way. If you don't have understanding, 14 plus 7 can be 111. You say, what do you mean, 111? How can 14 plus 7 become 111? 4 plus 7 is 11. I write 11. And there's one over here, 1. 111. Or 14 plus 7 can be 84. You say, how? I put the 14, I put the 7 under this, the 1, and it will be 8 and 4, 84. Is that not correct math? It could be. But that's a lack of understanding. You don't understand it. Because 14 plus 7 will never be that. But if you don't have understanding, you put the 7 or the 4 or the whatever in the wrong place, and with wrong calculations, you get an answer, and it looks like it's correct. It looks like it's correct. But you don't know the laws. You don't understand the laws that guide that particular mathematical equation. You have to comprehend. And that's what's happening to so many believers. They don't comprehend. They see the word of God and they misapply it. They put the seven under the one instead of under the four. Or sometimes they put it right there under the four, but they add the four and seven and write 11. On this one, praise the Lord. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It passes knowledge. So if it passes knowledge, this is beyond natural knowledge. We cannot decipher the things of God with our natural mind. We've got to do it in the realm of the Spirit, and it is based on our knowledge of the love of Christ. The cross should remind you of the love of God. The love of God. God loves me. Yes, I have messed up royally. I messed up. Is there any way God can forgive me? And I say, yes. Yes, if you accept the love of God, you can turn back to God, and God has already forgiven. But if you embrace inside of you, I'm such a terrible person, there's no way God can forgive me, you are not forgiven because you've not cashed on the mercies and the grace of God. That makes sense? That he might be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. Go back to verse 19, Colossians. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile what? All things unto himself. And so that we don't start excluding, he tells us, by him I say, whether they be what? Things in earth or things in what? Heaven. Watch this now, 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. Enemies where? In your mind. By wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through that to present you holy and unblameable. Holy and what? Unblameable. Holy and what? Unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I don't blame you, and I present no reproach towards you. I have taken care of this. Would you accept it? Or would you allow your wicked mind, twisted mind, to keep you in bondage? Two verses back, verse 20. And having made peace through his blood, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be what? Things in earth or things in what? Heaven. Go back to about verse 16. Let's see what that, whether they be things in earth.
For by him were all things created that are what? In heaven, and that are what? In earth. Whether they be what? Visible and invisible. Whether they be what? Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And when he died, the work of redemption covered everything. Are you with me? Covered everything. Now, don't get too shocked now. I know the devil is not going to be saved. The devil will never be saved. You know why? I know. Because the Bible says so. You know why the Bible says so? Because God dictated by inspiration his word. And he tells us the beginning to the end of everything as it's going to happen. But the devil does not end up in the lake of fire because the price for redemption was not paid. The devil himself was a creature of God. He sinned just like man. God loves all of his creation. Jesus' blood covered everybody. Everybody. But the devil will go to hell and to the lake of fire. Not because the price was not paid. Just like people are going to go to hell and to the lake of fire. Not because Jesus did not pay the price. It's based on whether you accept. Look how deep God is. How deep God's love is. Do you know there's 1,000 years that the devil is put chained down? Remember that? It's called the millennium reign. Yeah? What is the point of the 1,000 years? Tell you. God put the devil in jail for 1,000 years so that when he comes out of jail, he can say, okay, I repent. I'm sorry. I didn't know what got into my head. I just messed up. Hey! Please, I don't want to go back in there. No, the devil does not repent. And he goes back on his same old journey. And so God threw him into the bottomless pit. Final. But God gave him a chance. You know why God gave him that chance? For that 1 million years? Or 1,000 years, rather? Because God has set up a principle of head and body. When Adam sinned, we all what? Sinned. When Jesus Christ came as a new head and lived righteously, because of his life, we all received the gift of righteousness. Are you with me? So the plan was, if the devil comes out, this is God knowing that it will not happen, but God still set up this. He gave the devil an opportunity. If he comes out and he says, I repent, everybody that was under the regime of the devil that was going to go to hell, every one of them would have, the table would have been cleared, everybody gets saved. That was the whole plan of the millennium reign. Are you with me? Do you understand? But the devil is a bad devil and he will never repent. And that's why anybody that marries himself to the devil, they know where they're going to go. But I already went there and I came out with Jesus. Amen? Did you? You died with him? You were buried with him? Then you rose again with him. For if you died in the likeness of his death, you shall also rise in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. That's why, because you've risen in the likeness of his resurrection, you now mortify the deeds of the flesh. You kill it. You say, no, that's not me. That's not my life. I am saved. I don't steal. Not because there's a commandment, because it's not part of you anymore. I am not a liar. I am not a fornicator. I am not a drug addict. I am not a drunk. That is not my life. I have a new life. Resurrection life. I've left the past behind. And I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I pray that what we talked about today, about the cross, was not too heavy for you, but that you listen to this online again and again and again, or get the CD and go through it over and over. And while you're listening, connect with the practical aspect of how what we're talking about, what Jesus did at the cross, how all of that affects you henceforth. Tomorrow we're going to go deeper yet, and we're going to talk about what Jesus did when he went to the underworld and what he came up with. And tomorrow I'm going to believe God, so I'm hearing it now in my spirit, that there are going to be gifts that are going to be released into our lives. Hallelujah. Because part of the resurrection is that God gave gifts. Praise the Lord. Kadobo shandaraba. Rise up, and begin to pray in tongues. Get ready. Let's finish it before we get started tomorrow. Hallelujah. Just begin to speak in your spiritual language. Mandorobo shakata labarokoto seketeleba. Reketele breke seketele broshoko. Shandana masakataye. Rekete sondoro masakaha. Ye masikatolo borukasi. Shanderebo sikahe. Lord God Almighty, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Halalalalaba shakatalaba. Rakata bore barabashe. Meseketele breketokoshi. Maranaba sande kualabashai. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the finished work of the cross. Thank you, Father, for the finished work of the cross. Let everything that you accomplished at the cross be manifested in our lives, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for the redemptive work. Oh, God, now established in us and with us and through us. Thank you, Lord, oh, God, that grace is sufficient. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that we're living transformed lives. We have been shifted, oh God, from one dimension into another. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Most High. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, your word says that you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement for our peace was bestowed upon you. And by the stripes that you bore, we are healed. Peter says, by the stripes that you bore, we were healed. So we declare this day that we are the healed of the Lord. Hallelujah. All iniquities are purged. Therefore, God, the manifestation of blessings must now begin to take place in our lives. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that you have buried and every issue that is contrary to us is behind you. You're on top of these issues. Lord, oh God, when we look at the cross, we do not see the issues. We see you high and lifted up, drawing all men unto yourselves. We see you saying, today you shall be with me in paradise. We see and we hear you saying, It is finished. We see and we hear you saying, forgive them, but they do not know what they are doing. We see you. We hear you saying, son, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. You're taking charge and you're taking control of everything. Lord, all things are well. See you. Hear you saying, into your hands, I commit my spirit, my word, my life. When you said, why thou forsaken me? We do not just hear those words, but we see the response of the Father. Loud and clear. No! I have not forsaken you. For the heavens responded. The earth shook. All things happened. We see and we hear what was not happening at the cross, but in the temple. The curtain being torn from the top to the bottom, and the glory of the Holy of Holies spilling over into the holy place and into the outer courts. Lord, O God, so let it be unto us now, the Lord God, that there will be an overflow of your glory imparting our spirit, our souls, and our bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus, we receive all the full impact of the benefits of what you came to do. May we live transformed. May our lives truly be changed. Be exalted, O King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.